This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 MPG highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning. First of all, in the farm show this morning, the overnight crude oil market, 12 cents lower at $84.90. The Brent crude, 42 cents higher at $100.22. The August gold contract, $14.30 lower at $1,619.90. The U.S. dollar index, 0.165 lower at 82.156. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at $6.24 and a quarter, up $1.10. September wheat closed at $6.39 and a quarter, up $8.75. December wheat closed at $6.65, up $8. July corn yesterday closed at $5.86 and a quarter, up $18.75. September corn closed at $5.27 and a half, up $11.50. December corn closed at $5.19 and a half, up $11.75. July soybeans yesterday, $13.86 and a quarter, up $36.75. August beans at $13.66 and a quarter, up $33.75. September beans closed at $13.28 and a quarter, up $26.25. July soybean meal yesterday closed at $4.14.60, up $1.46. August meal closed at $4.03.10, up $1.24. September meal closed at $3.88.90, up $1.02. July soybean oil yesterday closed at $49.25, up $0.75. August oil closed at $49.47, up $0.75. September oil closed at $49.68, up $0.74. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock the cash grain report.
This is the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices were higher late Wednesday afternoon. The sharply lower U.S. dollar index, strong buying interest for old crop supplies, and weather concerns for the growing new crop combined to drive futures prices higher. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 16 to 24 cents higher at 606 to 621. Soybeans are up 31 to 39 cents at 1370 to 1386. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn 16 to 22 cents higher at 611 to 634. Soybeans are up 31 to 37 cents at 1372 to 1395. Wheat was 8 to 15 cents stronger at 603 to 625. Country grain dealers in the St. Louis market area quoted shell corn 16 to 22 cents stronger at 611 to 618. Soybeans are up 32 to 39 cents at 1382 to 1395. Wheat closed 7 to 13 cents stronger at 603 to 622. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 21 to 24 cents higher at 622 to 628. Soybeans are up 38 to 42 cents, ranging from 13.98 to 14.06. Wheat was 6 to 17 cents higher, ranging 5.99 to 6.16. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 18 to 20 cents higher at 6.30 to 6.36. These elevators raised their soybean bids 38 to 39 cents, with quotations at 14.14 to 14.18. Soft wheat was up 15 cents at 6.21 to 6.22. Milo closed mostly 17 cents higher at 5.51 to 5.52. This is John Ray reporting for WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at 91.95, up 85. July hogs closed at 92.70, up $1.12. August hogs closed at 91.85, up 30. June live cattle yesterday closed at 117.67, up 55. August cattle closed at 119.30, up a dime. October cattle closed at 123.80, up a dime. August feeder cattle yesterday, 157.95, down $1.22. September feeders closed at 159.25, down 75. October feeders closed at 160.25, down 75. Once again, we take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, June 6th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, Daily Direct Hogs, Barrows and Gilts closed 34 cents higher, with a carcass base price range of 82.08 to 88, even in a weighted average of 83.27. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 15,500. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was a dollar higher at 56 to 60, with Illinois direct slaughter sow steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 42 to 45. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 48. Over 550 pounds at 47 to 49. Today's estimated receipts of 1,025 and Tuesday's actual 1,325. Pork carcass cut out, $84.56, and that is up $1.75. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 407,000. Last week, 425,000. A year ago, 403,000. Week to date of 1,219,000. Cattle today, 127,000. Last week, 130,000. A year ago, 129,000. Week to date, 377,000. Box beef cut out values are firm on choice and weak on select on moderate to fairly good demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Total movement today, 237 fabulos with 94 trim. Choice at 197.13, that is up 73 cents. Select at 184.77, and that is down 38 cents. At the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 606 heads sold Tuesday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold steady to 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers steady. Slaughter cows, bulls, and feeder cattle not reported. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 4s at 121 and 125. Select and choice 2s and 3s traded from 117 to 121. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 112 to 115 and a quarter, with select and choice 2s and 3s at 108.75 to 112. Heifers, choice 2s to 4s from 119 to 124 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 116 to 120 and a half. There was a special bred cow and cow-calf sale at the Fairview Livestock Auction Tuesday evening, 336 head sold. Trade was active with good demand, especially for the cow-calf pairs. Young, large-frame second-stage cows sold at $1,300 to $1,450 a head, with middle-aged, large-frame second-stage cows at $1,075 to $1,475. Young, large-frame third-stage cows traded from $1,150 to $1,700. Middle-aged, large-frame third-stage cows, $1,150 to $1,625. And aged large frame third stage cows at $1,025 to $1,175 a head. Young large frame number one cow calf pairs sold from $1,725 to $2,275 a pair, with an individual fancy pair selling at $2,775. Middle aged large frame number one pairs sold from $1,600 to $2,150. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts this morning, $1,570. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 4s from 120 and a half to 123. Select and choice 2s and 3s at 118 to 120. Heifers, choice 2s to 4s trading from 119 to 122, with select and choice 2s and 3s at 116 and a half to 118 and a half. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. Butter, 140 and a half, down a half. Block cheese, 160 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. Barrel cheese, 150, 2 1/4, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, $15.47. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.12. For July, $5.49. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.12. For July, $5.41. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $13.81. For July, $13.50. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $5.91. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield or Scottville, $6.12. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $13.81. Wheat at Scottville, $5.91. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at $6.27, up 2 3/4. September wheat now trading at $6.42 1/4, up 3. July corn now trading at $5.91 1/4, up a nickel. September corn now trading at $5.36 1/4, up 5 1/4. July soybeans trading at $14.50, up 14 1/4. August beans trading at $13.79 3/4, up 13 1/2. Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Sunny skies today, the high about 80 degrees with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-80s. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy and warmer, a slight chance of showers on Monday. Low temperatures in the upper 60s, high temperatures in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady. We have mostly clear skies, 53 degrees on this Thursday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. In our farm news today, on Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. He said that the mid-Illinois wheat harvest has started.
Wheat harvest has begun here recently, probably over the weekend is when it really first started in the Fillmore area. Talked to the producer there, and he said it was going about 59 or 60 bushel per acre, and it's still a little bit wet, so he put it into a dryer and drying it down. So anticipate, you know, a pretty decent crop. I think yields are going to be a little bit better here in this area than what the wheat tour estimated a few weeks ago at 56 bushel per acre, but never know since it's just starting. But wheat harvest doesn't take very long, usually just a few days, and all the acres have been harvested. So it's kind of unusual. Here we are, you know, early June, wheat coming off, and obviously it's a good time to plant double crop soybeans, and The producer that I talked to recently at Fillmore said he thought there was enough moisture there to plant soybeans. So just review some of the things for double crop soybeans. The variety selection, probably not much different than what you would normally plant conventional, since it is so early, mid-season to full-season varieties probably would be the choice. Seeding depth, somewhere between inch and a half, something like that. Just get them covered. The row spacing, double crop soybeans, we always like to have narrow rows, 15 inches or less probably. So that's probably be the preferred way of planting it. And then planting rate, probably increase the planting rate 10 to 20% higher than you would conventional planting. So these are just some of the things to think about as you're planting double crop soybeans.
I know the tillage practices have changed over the years, and the equipment has too. Is there any field tillage that needs to be done before you plant second crop beans?
Well, some guys still do a little bit of that, but certainly I think the preferred method is just coming into the stubble field, no tillage at all. Certainly and obviously now moisture conservation is really important. So once you get a tillage tool out there, you're going to lose a lot of moisture. But when you cut the wheat, leave about at least a six inch stubble, maybe a little bit higher than that. And then the stubble and the straw there should conserve the moisture, what little moisture is there. So when you're double cropping, certainly I think the preferred choice would be actually no tillage at all.
Is there any weed concerns in these wheat fields?
Well, certainly now we have a number of herbicides. We can plant and then decide whether or not the stand is good enough to keep, and then we can always control these weeds post-emergence. So most of the fields I've been in have been pretty weed-free, haven't seen too much. Now, we do see, some weeds out there, but those that are out there can be easily controlled with a post-emergence herbicide of some type. So, again, we have a lot of flexibility now compared to, years ago when you had to put something down at planting time. So now we have that flexibility to go ahead and plant and find out what kind of stand we've got, and then we can there's a tremendous arsenal of herbicides that we can use to control both grass and broadleaf weeds out there. So that's not a problem.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about as well, with the early wheat crop like it is, would it hurt if a producer waited, say, a week, hopefully to get a little bit of a rain shower on their field before they sowed second crop beans?
I'm sure some producers are thinking about that. Like I said, here we are the 1st of June. Normally we don't get double crop planted soybeans in the ground until, maybe the last part of June. And I'm sure some producers may do that. It's pretty unusual as dry as it is, as early as it is. Normally, this time of year we're fighting maybe just the opposite problem. But now it is so dry, and I'm sure there are some producers that will want to wait, and certainly that's probably acceptable if you're wanting to wait and see more moisture, till the middle of June. And even at that, the middle of June is still earlier than what the double crop soybeans are usually planted. So I'm sure some will want to wait for more moisture.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. The United States Ag Attaché in Russia says that country's wheat production will slip to 54 million metric tons, down 2 million metric tons from last year due to the result of spring dryness in key production areas. Total grain production is expected at 88 million metric tons. The attaché says because of smaller supplies, 2012-2013 Russian grain exports will fall to 19 million metric tons, including 16 million metric tons of wheat, from a record 27.1 million metric tons in the current marketing year. When 10,000 farmers and ranchers spoke up, the Department of Labor paid attention. American Farm Bureau labor specialist Christy Boswell explains what happened in this report from the Farm Bureau's Jana Miller.
A proposal that would have prevented many young people from working in agriculture has been withdrawn by the Department of Labor. The outpouring of concern from farmers and ranchers throughout the country can take a lot of the credit.
After reviewing over 10,000 comments, they decided that it was not the best approach to regulate farm safety. The reaction of the withdrawal has been awesome. Everyone is excited that the administration listened to the farmers and ranchers across America and took the common sense approach and withdrew the regulation. And we look forward to working with the agencies to promote farm safety. This was a great victory for agriculture.
American Farm Bureau labor specialist Christy Boswell says the original proposal was a problem because it was extremely vague about what kinds of work kids under the age of 16 would be able to do. If taken literally, it was possible that kids wouldn't have been allowed to use battery-powered screwdrivers or to pump fuel into certain farm equipment.
The reaction in the countryside is relief that the Department of Labor and the administration looked at the reality of agriculture today and is working with us to develop safety programs that are locally controlled and allow our farmers and ranchers to be directly involved.
Now, instead of over-the-top federal rules, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is asking to work with agricultural groups like the Farm Bureau, 4-H, and FFA to make farm safety programs stronger.
American Farm Bureau is looking forward to promoting farm safety as it always has across the country. Our state farm bureaus have a lot of programs currently in place, and the USDA has reached out to American Farm Bureau and other interested ag groups to encourage those programs and assist promoting farm safety.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
In other farm news today, Kroger, the second largest supermarket system in the United States, is encouraging its pork suppliers to accelerate the transition to stall-free housing for pregnant sows. Wayne Pacell, president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, says Kroger has taken an important step for animal welfare in declaring that the pork industry must find an exit strategy for its use of gestation crates. But the National Pork Producers Council says it's disconcerting that retailers continue to succumb to the pressure of activist groups like the Humane Society of the United States in making decisions about sourcing pork products without considering the impact on American farm families. The National Pork Producers Council says announcements like this come with severe and unintended consequences. The group says forcing changes on producers could put hog farmers out of business and will increase the price of pork for consumers. The National Pork Board met ahead of the World Pork Expo on Tuesday. Algona, Iowa farmer and pork production executive Conley Nelson was elected president of the 15-member board. Nelson has been serving as the board's vice president and succeeds Everett Faulkner, who will stay on the executive committee as immediate past president. Karen Richter, Minnesota pork producer, was elected vice president. Michigan producer Dale Norton was elected to serve as treasurer. Each will serve one-year terms that begin immediately. Nelson says he hopes to draw on his experience as a smaller producer and as a production manager for one of the nation's largest production companies to help the board guide pork producers through some of the tough challenges that face the pork industry. Nelson cited an increasing number of examples where those outside production agriculture are trying to dictate how producers care for their animals. He says the board's strategic plan is dedicated to preserving the ability of producers to make decisions about what works best for their farms and animals. Nelson says it's also important to continue to build trust with our customers and with consumers by demonstrating the commitment to continuous improvement. Results of a survey issued at the World Pork Expo show that the overwhelming majority of U.S. sow herds spend some time in individual housing. The findings confirm national pork producers' concerns about recent pronouncements by food companies that they will only use pork from operations that are gestation stall free. The survey conducted by University of Missouri Extension economist Ron Plain found that currently only 17.3% of sows spend a portion of gestation in open pens. U.S. Magistrate Judge Theodore Katz has ordered the Food and Drug Administration to evaluate the safety risk to human health associated with the use of antibiotics in food-producing animals. According to the Manhattan judge, the agency has done shockingly little since proposing in the 1970s to order a substantial reduction in the use of antibiotics in animal feed. All but three states participating in the United States Department of Agriculture's National School Lunch Program have opted to order ground beef that does not contain finely textured beef. Only Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota have chosen not to order ground beef that may contain the product. Sometimes known as pink slime, the filler used for years is made of fatty bits of beef that are heated to remove much of the fat, then treated with a puff of ammonia to kill bacteria. The gap between federal funding for agriculture research at large public universities and private investment is growing, and critics fear it will jeopardize schools' independence. A recent study by the Washington-based environmental group Food and Water Watch shows that nearly one quarter of the money spent on agricultural research at land-grant universities comes from corporations, trade associations, and foundations, an all-time high. Financial support from the United States Department of Agriculture accounts for less than 15%, the lowest level in nearly two decades. The advocacy group says such arrangements can pose conflicts of interest and steer researchers away from scientific results that may contradict the goals of their financial backers. Deans at several agricultural schools counter that corporate research, or corporate support rather, is vital, but unlikely to sway their research. We'll have commodity market updates throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. As we close on this Thursday morning, in electronic trading, July wheat now trading at 6.28 and a quarter, up four. September wheat now trading at 6.43 and a quarter, up four. July corn now trading at 5.92, up five and three quarter. September corn now trading at 5.33, up five and a half. July soybeans now trading at 14.06 and a half. That's up 20 and a quarter. August beans now trading at 1385 and a half, up 19 and a quarter. Once again, we'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.